Welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus program. Today, Bible study is going to be continuing on with Matthew 24, heading down to 25, up to 25, or whatever you want to look at it. My name is Thomas Gambill. I'm the host of this Bible study for tonight, 8 to 9, tonight. I remind you all that we're played also my broadcast. Bible studies are played up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania on broadcast network John Kirkler, highpointradio.net. It's highpointradio.net. He plays my broadcast and Bible studies, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, on his channel in those three states. So he's got sponsors there, and you can use those sponsors. You can find out about them on his network. My website is watchmanforjesus.com. My Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. Welcome. I get in these little battles every now and then on the YouTube. Oh, just for practice, I guess. I don't know what you want to call it. And one of them said, the book, the Bible you're speaking of, was written by men, not God, and see how easy it is to fool and control people with words. Jesus was an Essene, followed those beliefs which were more Buddhist than anything else. Oh. Research Essenes if you really want to do as Jesus did, and put down those books written by our controllers. It's written by men. Well, I wrote back nicely. I said, yeah, it's written by men who are righteous and inspired or driven by God. Otherwise, you have no books to tell you what is the truth. Any book is written by men, and men lie. Any questions? And then 2 Peter 1, verse 21, King James Bible. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Bible has answers to every question. And then when it don't, it's because the answer is not going to be understood. Or won't be understood at the time. As he told Daniel to shut up this book, not for secret, but because men back then, people back then, would not understand what was reading. Then he wrote one of the most famous comebacks. He said, mankind did not evolve from monkeys. He agrees. That's great. We are divine beings. No, we're not. More powerful than we can imagine. Which is why Jesus said we would do more and better than he. There's a force of creation in this everywhere. Darwin was a Zionist liar, and his works have been long since disproven, for the most part, or that we can agree. Jesus did not want to be worshipped, he said. He stated he hated churches. He taught meditation. Which Jesus is he talking about? Anyway, vegetarianism, communal living, and equality of men. I think he's talking about a hippie. Anyway, and women. The Essenes did this, and also outlawed out slavery. The first in recorded history to do so. Okay. Well, I had an answer also. I said, well, no, read your scriptures. Not better than he. Not better than he. But more. Meaning he was leaving early and they would be doing more miracles. Not better miracles, but more, as in quantity miracles, in numbers. We're not gods. Jesus never taught the New Age nonsense that you're talking about. This fake Jesus, Yeshua, or Sananda. See, that's what they're talking about. This is an introduction to the New Age by changing who Jesus is by their own words. Unfortunately, churches are following up on it. That's the problem. A big problem. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and we're going to get into Matthew 24, where we left off last night, not before last, Matthew 24, 6 and 7. And we'll continue on in more detailed commentary than what I've done before. Lord, thank you tonight for Bible study that, Father, we come together. Father, lead us tonight in your worship. Father, in your end times events that we can see through your scriptures, the truth that, Father, we just read the scriptures and not add to them or take away from them. But as they say, as are given to us in the scriptures, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Father, we pray for our families that are going to be separated and divided to bring them back together. And, Father, for healings, for those that ask for the healings and to heal the men, the emotions of families back together that are being pulled apart. And for that day, that final day coming, when the tribulations begin, and Father, you'll guide us through them, and that to help others too as well. Father, we pray for our country. We pray for our leaders to wake up. Father, we pray for the churches to preach the gospel, the true gospel, to bring others to salvation. And Father, we pray for those warring angels. Those warring angels that's going to come down, Lord, to protect us against those interruptions and attacks that's going to be taking place. And Father, give us that protection that we're going to need to spread the gospel. And Father, to strip down protection of those in deception and expose them for who they are. We pray for discernment and wisdom to guide us through these times, these events. And tonight as we go through, Father, to guide us. These things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now you can reflect back on last night's study, if you're new here tonight. We talked about, in chapters 24 and 25, the Olivet Discourse, O-L-I-V-E-T, Discourse, so named because the importance, announcement, the pronouncement was given on the Mount of Olives. Jesus predicted the destruction of the temple in Matthew 24, 1 and 2. He talks about the first half of the tribulation, chapters 3, 24, verse 3 to 14. And today we're on, well, chapter 4 and 5 of chapter 24. We're on verse 4 and 5. And we were speaking last night that we believe the churches will be taken out of the world. I gave the scriptures toward the end of last night's Bible study. You're not going to be here, or you're going to be protected when God's wrath comes down in the first after the first half. There will be tribulation. There will be trials and tests. During the first half of the tribulation, as if you don't already know, there are going to be many false messiahs. Well, actually, I just got through talking about one. They're going to appear, will succeed in deceiving multitudes, including Christians, by the way. And you've got current rise of many false cults. And ironically enough, today in the broadcast, I talked about this and how to control the people. They design and create new religions, Scientology, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, going all the way back, the 1800s, the current 20th century, to control the movie stars and all those in the entertainment world, Scientology, and other type cults. These false religious leaders will be Jews claiming to be the Christ that's going to be coming out. In 24, 6, and 7, you've heard talked about dozens of times, haven't you? Wars and rumors of wars. You've heard that over and over. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. You know, it'd be easy to think that we're seeing this fulfilled today. But what we see today, as I've been trying to get across to people, as some evangelists and prophets are trying to make a big deal out of it, what we see today is mild compared to what will be. This is nothing. Absolutely nothing. This is practice, if anything. The next event in God's time schedule is the rapture of the church, somewhere along the way. You're not going to be here. But it may not be pre-trib, may be mid-trib, don't know. That's God's business. Nobody knows. Write a book as much as they want to, but they're not going to be. All the books they write, he never tells you. They never tell you. Read a book with 300 pages in it. You never really know when. They don't really make their case either. Almost none of them do. In John 14, 1 to 6, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way. In John 14, 6, the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, That's pretty slam dunk, I'd say. You know, he does prepare a place for us. You know, when they came to him when he was in the tomb, did you know that a custom back in the day was when the master of the table was eating at the table, he had his napkin. And if he folded his napkin nice and neatly, the servants of the house knew he was coming back. He might be going to the bathroom or wash his hands or maybe got his hands sticky with maple syrup. Who knows? Anyway, so he folds the napkins nice and he's going to come back. So you don't clear his table. So when he throws a napkin, just throws it down on the table or on the plate, he's done. Then you clean the table. Well, when Jesus was in the tomb and he left for that period of time and they came to see, to anoint his body with spices and all that, it says in the Bible they found the napkin neatly folded. Well, now, the napkin went over his head, went over his face. So that means, number one, the shroud that they have, the shroud to Turin, that's a fraud. Because it never covered his head. They just put a napkin over it, by the way. Since Shroud of Turin is a fraud. Shroud of Turin is to prove Sanand Emanuel is Jesus. It'll have bloodstains on it that will match the Antichrist DNA. That's another story. Ron Wyatt also was fooled. There's no ark. The ark is in heaven. God brought the ark with him. There's no man down here. No men, no man, nothing. Nobody, nowhere can touch that ark, because none are righteous, not one. So God brought the ark with him. Bible says so. It's in the... I think it was Stephen saw the ark in heaven. Stephen or Paul, I forgot which one off the top of my head, but saw the ark up there. It's not here. So what Ron Wyatt saw was not the ark of God. Jesus folded the napkin. Means he's coming back. The master folded the napkin. 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 57. Behold, I show you a mystery. You shall not all sleep. That means die. But you shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:52. That deserves additional commentary. So, First Corinthians 15, I'm going to say 52, yeah. I keep going over it to see when I go back to it. First Corinthians 15:52. In wow, okay, 1 Corinthians 15:52. This change about this last trump, the change will take place instantly. The change, what change? Enoch's body was translated Old Testament. When Enoch was taken up alive, as Elijah was. But his body was translated. That's how those down here will also be translated. Translated is changing DNA. The change will take place instantly, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. And the last trumpet does not mean the end of the world, or even the last trumpet mentioned in Revelation. Rather, it refers to the trumpet of God. That trumpet will sound when Christ comes in the air for his saints. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. They try to make that to be the seventh trumpet. So what that means? When the trumpet sounds, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Or, as said by Enoch, translated. It'd be an incredible moment at that time, whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, whenever it is. Nobody really knows. You can't say, what's pre-trib rapture? Well, you can't say that. It's post-trib rapture. You can't say that. It's mid-trib rapture. No, nobody really knows. When's the tribulation? Nobody can tell you. So you certainly don't know when the rapture is going to be. It's not for us to know anyway. But whatever it is, it's going to be an amazing thing. The earth and sea will yield up the dust of all those who've died trusting in Jesus Christ right down through the centuries. You know, it's almost impossible for the human mind to even take in the magnitude of such an event that's going to take place in the future. Yet the humble believer can accept it by faith, and it has to be by faith. You know, when you go to verse 53, for the corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. That deserves another speaking. You see, verse 53 refers to two classes of believers at the time of Christ's return. And this word corruptible refers to those whose bodies have returned to the dust, asleep, but their soul and spirit is in heaven or in hell. They're put on incorruption. So this mortal, on the other hand, refers to those who are still alive in body, but are subject to death. Such are these bodies that put on immortality. Translated, in other words. Now, so there's no prophecy to be fulfilled before then. Now, after the church is removed, God's prophetic clock will begin at some point in time. And these conditions will quickly manifest themselves, like famines and pestilence and earthquakes will occur in various places. I don't believe that a pre-trib rapture, but somewhere along the way, when the church is removed, it'll be before the first trumpet, if any time. Because you're not appointed to wrath. He's not going to put the wrath of God upon you if you're born again. We'll have experienced tribulations. There'll be executions. I don't know how that's going to work, but that's all God's business anyway. Even today, world leaders are alarmed by the specter of famine because of the alleged population explosion, but in reality, the famines were orchestrated. And there'll be shortages, certainly caused by wars. Earthquakes are attracting increasing attention, and we know that they create earthquakes through HAARP. That's explained. You can research that. Tornadoes, hurricanes are created by technology and supernatural whiz-bang, smoke and mirrors. But the first trumpet, the first trumpet on is all God, because after the sixth seal of the first 3.5 years,
that great earthquake is going to destroy everything man-made. And you better know how to rub sticks together, because you're going to need it. There will be nothing technologically standing. Earthquakes are attracting increasing attention. Not only those that are now occurring, but also those are expected. Once again, there's straws and the wind. There's not the actual fulfillment of the Savior's words yet. When you go to 24:8, this one identifies the period of the beginning of sorrows. It's the, they call it the onset of birth pangs, which will bring forth a new order under Israel's Messiah King. King Dispah of the universe is called, he's called in some circles. But during this time, faithful believers will experience great personal testing during the tribulation early. So you'll still be here. The nation will conduct a bitter hate campaign against all who are true to him. Not only will they be tried in religious and civil courts, as depicted in Mark, I believe, 13:9. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils. In the synagogues shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. I guess some of us have got a head start. But many is going to be martyred because they refuse to recant. Such testings have occurred during all periods of Christian testimony. This seems to have particular reference that to the 144,000 Jewish believers who have a special ministry during this period. However, unfortunately, many will apostatize themselves rather than suffer and die. Death is simply God removing you out of this world before it gets hammered. That's what that's really going on. I don't know. Look at it like this. You're new to the beach. You go out to a beach somewhere in these islands, and you don't really understand it very well. You're just on a vacation. And all of a sudden you're sitting there basking in the sun. And you see everybody picking up and running. You're like, what's going on? Everybody's leaving. You're like, well, I don't know what's happening. You kind of look down at the beach and you see the water is receding. Oh. You know something's coming. You better be getting up and running, because that water is coming in on you. It's called tsunami. You look for the signs. Some people know the signs ahead of time. Some people don't pay any attention. And those don't pay attention to the signs of the times are going to be swept away. But in this period of time, many will apostatize themselves. Family members will inform against their own relatives, betray them into the hands of bestial persecution. So now you know. When God talks about Matthew 10:37, not to love your family more than him, now you know why. Aha. Doesn't it sound odd when you hear God telling you in Matthew 10:37? Actually, ironic, I talked about that today. Matthew 10:33. Whosoever shall deny me before men, will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He knew what he's talking about. Matthew 24:11. Many false prophets will appear and deceive hordes of people. Is that not happening today? It's going to be more so in these days. Everything I'm talking about now will be accentuated, increased exponentially when the end times really hit. False prophets claim to be spokesmen for God. God came to me last night in my bedroom. God sat with me in my house, car, he came to me while I was in my shower, and we sit there and talked, and he's on the other side of the shower curtain. I mean, I've heard all kinds of things from people. Then what happened? We said to Thomas, blessed are they who have not seen yet believe. Is that thrown out the window? False prophets can be detected in several ways. One, their prophecies do not always come to pass, and their teachings always lead men away from the true God. The mention of false prophets also will add confirmation to the statement about the tribulation, primarily Jewish in character. False prophets are associated with the nation of Israel. The church in danger comes from the false teachers. You find that in, 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people, as there shall be false teachers among you, who probably shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. 24:12, you have wickedness, rampaging of human affections will be less and less evident, and acts of unlove will be common. Very commonplace. Family, it's not a pleasant picture to paint here, but judgment's coming on this world that's unrepentant. And he also says, though, there's a glimmer of hope in this day of judgments that's coming, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. So, it obviously does not mean that men's souls will be saved at that time of their enduring. Salvation is always present in the Bible as a gift of God's grace. It's received by faith in Christ's substitutionary. He substituted his death, resurrection for us. And neither can it mean that all who endure shall escape physical harm. As we've read through this, we've looked through this in the Bible, we've already learned that many believers will be martyred. Fifth seal. Verse 9. It's also a general statement that those who stand fast, enduring persecution without apostatizing, will be delivered at Christ's second advent. So you cannot imagine, or shouldn't imagine, rather, that apostasy is a means of escape or safety. It's only going to get you in deeper scotch. No pun intended. And only those who have true faith will be saved. Those with weak faith will go away like a vapor. Saving faith may have lapses. It always has the quality of permanence, however. Matthew 24:14. During this same period, the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed worldwide. And this will be as a witness to all nations. The gospel of the kingdom is the good news that Jesus Christ is coming to set up his kingdom on earth in the real Israel, the real Jerusalem. And that's when the time of the Gentiles will end. And the Hebrew will be brought back. Right now it's English. English is a universal language. You see? Reason for it. Now, there are those receiving by faith to the tribulation, they'll also enjoy the blessings of the millennial reign. When you go to verse 14, it's sometimes misused, however. And verse 14, at times, is misused because they try to say that Christ could not return for his church at any moment because so many tribes have not yet heard the gospel. They always use the Amazon forest. Difficulty is removed when you realize that this refers to his coming with his saints rather than for his saints. It refers to the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of the grace of God. In 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. You remember this? Reminds me of something. Remember that. It's going to be preached in all the world. And when it's preached in all the world, then shall the end come. Now, I've heard that somewhere else. Where have I heard that? Heard that somewhere fairly recently. Yeah. How about this?
The panel has been discussing the spirituality and the forces of God. But I also believe that there are two forces that are here with us, that we do have our God that we can depend on, but there's also a power of darkness that we do need to be aware of. And that's where the choice is.
Do you believe that you can choose between one or the other?
Most absolute definitely.
Yeah.
Oprah
Williams says in her book Return to Love that we're always walking in the direction of one or the other, that all of your actions in life, either you're moving toward the darkness or you're moving toward the light.
That's right.
She calls it fear and love. There's this wonderful book called Ishmael by Daniel Quinn, which is it's a gorilla talking, but anyway, it talks about one of the points it brings out is one of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be
then
a human
how do
being
you please
and,
God?
And many ways no but many paths
many ways.
To what you call God
that
and
is
her
pleasing.
Path might be something else, and when she gets there she might call it the light, but her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
And I guess the danger that could be in that, I mean, it sounds great on the onset, but if you really look at both sides, I
there couldn't
person,
possibly be just one way. What about Jesus? What about Jesus?
That even brings him up in the whole discussion, and you say there isn't only one way.
There is one way and only one way, and
there
that is through Jesus.
There couldn't possibly be
with
a million
people
in the world.
Because you say there isn't.
There couldn't possibly be.
Because you say, you intellectualize it and say there isn't. If
no.
you don't believe that, you're all buying into the lie.
But that makes you right.
Do you think, if you are somewhere on the planet... If you're somewhere on the planet and you never hear the name of Jesus, you never hear the name of Jesus, but yet you live with a loving heart, you lived as Jesus would have had you to live, you lived for the same purpose that Jesus came to the planet to teach us all, but you are in some remote part of the earth and you never heard the name of Jesus, you cannot get to heaven, you think?
And that is covered in the scriptures, too. People
heart,
are talked about
truly,
that.
God knows the heart.
Does God care about your heart or God care about if you call his son Jesus?
Well, you know... Oprah, God, Jesus cannot come back until that gospel is preached in the four corners of this earth. So, you know, figure it out.
Okay, I can't get into a religious argument with you.
It's not religion, Oprah.
I can't get into a religious argument with you. John.
See, knowing your Bible has a massive impact on those that do not. The power of the Bible, the power of the King James Bible, in the name of Jesus has power. So this verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. They use this, or misuse it, should I say, to show that Christ could not return for his church at any moment because so many tribes have not yet heard the gospel. But you know that difficulty is removed? And that's when he realized that this refers to his coming with his saints rather than for his saints. This refers to the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of the grace of God. There's a striking parallel between the events in verses 3-14 and those in Revelation 6-1-11. Here the rider on a white horse, the first part of the seal. That's the Antichrist, the white horse. The rider on a white horse with a bow but no arrow. A false Messiah. The rider of the red horse is war. That's the real World War III, not this fake Russia's lining up with, you know, Iran or something and China and all this going on today. That's not it at all. The real war, World War III, will reduce the population almost three quarters. The rider of the black horse is famine. And the rider of the pale horse is pestilence or disease or death. So the souls under the altar at the fifth seal, after the pale horse, the fourth seal. And these events describe the Revelation 6:12-17 are linked up with those in Matthew 19-31. They match each other. Holy men, as they were moved by the Spirit, is how the Bible came to be. And it's all matched with Daniel and Isaiah. Long before John and Matthew. Then in Matthew 24:15-28. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whose readeth, let him understand. So move your Bibles to Matthew 24:15, and there is a mid-tribulation, the abomination of desolation, and it actually refers to and links you up with Daniel. There's no mistake there. At 24:15, at this point, you've come to the middle of the tribulation, moving right along. And we know by comparing verse 15 with Daniel 9:27, there's a connection. Because Daniel predicted that in the middle of the 70th week, that's now begun already, that is at the end of the 3.5 years, 1,260 days of the reign of the Antichrist, there'll be an adulterous image we set up in the holy place, the temple in Jerusalem, that hadn't been built yet. Hint. All men will be ordered to worship this abominable idol, and failure to comply with it will be punishable by death. You'll find that in Revelation 13, verse 15. Revelation 13, verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. So the erection of this idol will be a signal to those who know the word of God that the great tribulation has begun. As a blossoming of the fig tree is not the formation of Israel in 1948. It's
talking about Matthew, the discourse, that the fig tree is when these signs that I've been talking about occur. Be able to identify the signs of the times. Not that the fig tree equals Israel. And that in 2017, when he had 70 years to it, all this nonsense, that's not what about at all. That's what they do. The blossoming of the fig tree. Then they attack on, well, a generation of man, this generation shall not pass. Oh, it's 70 years. Oh, so 1948, he had 70 to it. Wow, Jesus is coming back 2017. No, it might be Sanan Emmanuel, the fake Jesus. He might come. It won't be Jesus of Nazareth, that's for sure. Kind of note that the Lord wants the one who reads the prophecy to understand it. It would be helpful, you know. In 24:16, those who knew Judea should flee to the mountains. Wait a minute now. Let's recount here. So you've got, before the pre-tribulation, before mid-trib, you've got a group taken out supernaturally, headed toward the judgment seat of Christ. But then at the abomination of desolation, you got some people stuck here that's mortals. Because he tells them to flee the mountains. He don't say, I'm going to beam you up, Scotty, you know, at the mid-tribulation. He says, no, at this point, run to the mountains. Those are mortals. Mortals that's running. Because the Antichrist says, I'm bad, I'm mean, and I'm angry, and here's my idol, and I'm going to kill you if you don't worship it. And then he's going to say, Martha, what? We're out of here. Pew, gone. Well, that's mortal. So you got supernatural gone, mortal running to the hills to be protected. And this being the vicinity of Jerusalem, their refusal to bow to the image would be quickly detected. That's pretty obvious. 17 and 19 of 24, on the utmost haste will be necessary. If a man sitting on the housetop, he should leave all his possessions behind and just get out of there. Time spent in gathering these belongings would mean the difference between life and death in some people. The man working in the field should not return back for his clothes, whereafter he may have left them. Pregnant women and nursing mothers will be a distinct disadvantage. It will be hard for them to make a speedy escape. Can you imagine when this day comes? 24:20. Believers should pray that the crisis should not come in the wintertime. So it's not telling us when it's going to happen. Just pray it's not in the winter. Added travel hazards, cold, frostbite, will not come on the Sabbath, when the distance that would travel would be limited by law in Exodus 16:29, but that was before the Sabbath was fulfilled by Jesus also. A Sabbath day's journey would not be enough to take them out of the danger area. 24:21. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been from the beginning of the world until this time. No, not ever shall be. So when these pastors and evangelists on TV get up there and say, oh, there is a red river in Colorado, they got a red river in Pakistan, or millions of dead birds over here, and earthquake over there, and we're in it. We're in the sixth seal, sixth trumpet. They have no idea. Four blood moons. We're in the second blood moon, the triad. Everybody missed that one? There's no four blood moons in the Revelation. You got one at the sixth seal. Hadn't happened yet. One's not four. You had four blood moons for centuries. It's part of the almanac. Got nothing to do with nothing. Hagee and Mark Blitz, Carl Gallup, Jonathan Kahn,
are all cons. I'm telling you right now. Capitalizing on people's fear. Telling us things we already know. Got nothing to do with Scripture. It's commercial endeavors. Now this description of 2421 isolates a period from all the inquisitions, pogroms, purges, massacres, and genocides of all history. The prophecy could not have been fulfilled by any previous persecutions because it clearly states will be ended by the second advent of Jesus. That's not happened yet. So in 2422, this tribulation now will be so intense that unless these days are shortened, nobody would survive. You're going to have a transhumanized army of sort. It's not Chinese. Oh, gosh. This is transhumanized, almost supernatural, as in the days of Noah. Escape Moon, the Great Tribulation, that so often specified as lasting 3.5 years, will be shortened. It probably means that God will miraculously shorten the daylight hours, or that it won't be 8 years, but it'll be 7. During which most of the fighting and slaughter will occur during the daylight hours for the elect's sake. Is that what it means? The day shortened means less sunlight? Or length? You know, those who receive Jesus, the Lord will grant their respite of earlier darkness. Now, in Matthew 24, 23-26, it just gives us a renewed warning against these false messiahs, false prophets, and so forth, that we have abundance of nowadays. So, in a type of an atmosphere of crisis, these reports, if we will circulate the messiahs in some secret location. You can see him. Now, these reports are going to be used to trap people who sincerely look for Jesus Christ. It will be used as traps. Like stings, if you will. The Lord warns all disciples not to believe reports of local or the secret advent. Noah's over here. Noah's over there. You can go see him, but don't tell anybody. It's a trap. Those who perform miracles are not necessarily from God. Miracles can be satanic in origin. You know, the man of sin will be given satanic powers to perform miracles. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 and 10. There's a verse in the Bible that clearly outlines this. Can't get no clearer. You'll find it. Matthew 7:23 and 25. Let me go back here. In Matthew 7:21-23, it's kind of odd in a way, but not when you read it. In the King James Bible, you read it in conceptual form in its proper context. It says, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew ye. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." That's scary. is it not? Makes you want to make sure that you are born again. Because those are those that think that they're born again, have been doing miracles, and gets thrown back at them. You see, the Lord Jesus warned against people who falsely profess to acknowledge Him as Savior. They've never been converted. Only those who do the will of the Father in the kingdom. And the first step is to doing the will of God is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 6, verse 29. On Judgment Day, when the unbelievers stand before Christ, in Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15, many will remind Him that they prophesied, we've cast out demons, or we performed many wonders, all in His name. But their protesting will be in vain. Because remember, Jesus, when He comes back, He's not a lawyer. He's no longer your intercessor like He is now. He is a judge. It's over. Now He becomes a judge. You have your time now. Jesus would declare to them that He never knew them or acknowledged them as His own. Can you imagine the horror from that? From these verses, you learn that not all miracles are divine origin, and that not all miracle workers are divinely accredited. Of course, you can always take a course in miracles from Madame Zora or whatever. Thank you. I think I'll save my money. A miracle simply means that a supernatural power is at work. That power may be divine or satanic. Satan may empower his workers to cast out demons temporarily. That's very important to know. Because it gives power to the witch doctor. It gives power to the Catholic priest who's an exorcist. This was confirmed by Alberto Rivera. I didn't just make that up. Alberto Rivera said that's what they do. He said the exorcists of the Roman Catholic Church are specific folks. And when they go in, there's a cooperation between this priest that's an exorcist and the demonic realm. He does his exorcism. The demons agree to leave to give the power to the church. It's done in voodoo. It's done in witchcraft to give power to the rain man, give power to the shaman. The demons cooperate. I'm not making any of that up. In order to create the illusion, the miracle is divine. It's why they do it. He's not dividing the kingdom against itself in such a case, but is plotting an even worse invasion of demons in the future. And they're coming. When He lifts a veil, it's going to hit. Man, you do not want to be here. Right now, a veil keeps them back from even the sinners. Give them opportunity. Those demons are like restrained, hungry lions. Can't wait to get to you. I'm not giving you fear. I'm just telling you what's going to happen. And the only thing holding them back is that veil that God's put there. When you sin against God, or the country turns against God, that veil gets thin. And demons start coming through it. It's a separation of the second heaven to the first. It's actually physics and geometry. It's biology. It's real. So, move into the false messiahs. And then we got past the abomination of desolation. And all this
will be ended by the second advent of Christ, who starts a millennium reign. Now, I got to those performing those miracles that weren't of God. Christ's advent will be unmistakable. It'll be sudden, public, and universal. Glorious. Not on YouTube. It's kind of like the lightning will be instantly and clearly visible to all. In Matthew 24:27. Matthew 24:28. And no moral corruption will escape his fury and the judgment for whoever the carcass is, where the eagles shall be gathered together. Now the carcass pictures apostate Judaism, Christendom, the whole world system that's in league against God and his Christ. The eagles or vultures, well, they kind of typify the judgments of God that which will be unleashed in connection to Messiah's appearing. Which brings us to Matthew 24:29 and the second advent at the close of the Great Tribulation. And that's when the sun will be darkened. The moon's light is only a reflection of the sun's. The moon will also withhold its light once again. We're not talking no blood moon. I'm going to stop there. Stop where? I'm going to stop at Matthew 24:29. And then tomorrow we'll probably finish up at 24:25. We'll get into the parables. And the completion of the Olivet Discourse. And I'll continue on tomorrow night to finish it. Even if it takes us 9:15, if that's the case, or 9:30. Should not think so, but it might. So we stopped at Matthew 24:29. To me, this is quite interesting. And then, if I get around to it, we'll get to Jesus Christ, the coming King, and we'll kind of summarize it. There you go, y'all. I appreciate y'all coming by tonight. We had a nice crowd tonight. Thank y'all for coming to my little old Bible study. I invited y'all to. I try to do the best I can, but I knew I had to increase my knowledge, so I invited people to attend my little old Bible study here. Because I had a network, why not use it, right? It's kind of what it amounts to being. Well, family, I want to remind you that my Bible studies and broadcasts are played up at highpointradio.net. Highpointradio.net. And John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, Kirkler. And he's up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. He plays my broadcasts and Bible studies on a random basis on his network in those three states, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. I said that, didn't I? I have a website, watchmenforjesus.com, and a Facebook, Watchmen for Jesus. I want to put a little more pizzazz in my Facebook entries from now on. I have some ideas. And check my latest two out. That was awkward. My last two out. Whew, where'd that come from? Anyway, y'all. Last two entries. So, family, thank you all for coming by. And any comments, recommendations, or whatever, you're welcome to send them. All I can tell you is, family, people get ready. Get ready because Jesus is coming. He's on the way. We don't know when exactly. It's God's business. You just spread the gospel and get yourself ready. That's what it boils down to being. So y'all have a good night. And God bless y'all. We'll see you tomorrow, 4 o'clock, 4 to 6 p.m. at the broadcast. Tomorrow's Friday. Today was the 21st of January, 22nd of January, excuse me, 22nd of January, and tomorrow will be the 23rd. Lord, we thank you tonight for broadcast. Thank you tonight, Father, for the Bible study. Lord, we end in prayer tonight. As you go home with us, Father, you lead us around. You give us instruction, wisdom, discernment through the Holy Spirit. Father, we learn something. I learn something every day, Lord, and I thank you for the opportunity you've given me to be able to preach, to teach, Father, and the trust you put into me. And Lord, to help me keep straight. And Lord, we call for our families. We ask you, Lord, to bless our families. Those that are apart, to bring back together. Protect the husband and wife and the children, Lord, that they'll pray together and stay together. Be many is going to be tested in the future, Lord. Going to need that help. We pray for tomorrow. You got us through. And Father, with discernment and wisdom to come out, to show us what the truth is, to read through the deception, and guide us the right path. All these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Y'all have a good night. God bless you. And we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 to 6 o'clock. This is your Watchman, signing out.